Good. Okay, we're good to go. Hi, everyone. This is Zach Colville. I'm the chairperson of the Commission on Disability Issues. It is now 3:31 p.m., and I'm calling this meeting to order. Stephanie, are you able to take roll call, please?
Yes. So this is roll call for the CODI meeting of March 19th. Kate Elliott. Sue Krager?
Here.
Erica Spadas?
Here.
Wesley Derbyshire?
Here.
Zach Colville?
Here.
Ray Jordan?
Hi there.
Lily Bogan? And Jonathan Confer. Okay, we do have quorum.
Okay, great. Thanks, Stephanie. We'll get right into our first agenda item, which is a call to the public. I know several people. I don't exactly know who they are. So if you are a member of the public and would like to voice an opinion about anything disability community related and Tucson related, please, now is your time to speak. I'll pause for just a moment. Okay, not seeing anyone announce themselves or take themselves off mute. I will go ahead and move to our second, more substantive agenda item, which is discussion with SunTran leadership regarding SunTran services and SunTran accessibility. I know some members that I've seen on email are seem to be on the call. If you would like, please introduce yourself and take yourself off mute. You're more than welcome to at this point.
Sure. Well, I'll start out. My name is Michael Oglesby. I'm the general manager of SunVan, SunTran, and SunLink. I also have two other staff members with me. I don't carry a big group of people. I always like to hear what folks have to say. I've been here, a little bit about me. I've been here probably almost going on a year now, maybe 8 months, 9 months. To tell you the truth, it feels like 5 years, even though it's been 9 months. No, I'm kidding. just because I've been here just for a 9 month period doesn't mean that I don't know public transportation. I run public transportation for well over 30 years. I won't give you the exact date because you start guessing my age. We won't do that. I've run big systems, small systems. I've run systems with fixed route paratransit. I've run all paratransit systems. I have reorged, revamped paratransit systems. Very well versed in the paratransit community, the fixed route community. As a matter of fact, a little tidbit about me, when I was in Boston, I ran light rail, heavy rail, paratransit, ferry service, and locomotive. So I know all modes of transit. And I am an official Tucsonian. Did I say it right? No. I am, thank you for having me. I'm here to stay. This is where I hopefully will be riding out the rest of my career. And I just wanted to introduce myself. And also, I have with me from paratransit, SunVan. I think Sean's on, right? Sean, are you there?
I see yes. Sean.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, right. Sean. Good to have you on again.
And also, I believe Sabrina is on also, who not only runs Fixed Route, but at one point ran SunVan also. Sabrina?
Yeah. Hi, everybody. I'm Sabrina Herrera, and I'm right now the AGM with SunTran. It was at SunVan before, and I attended some of your meetings in the past.
Yeah, right. So, so you guys can, as you get started, just to let you know, you know, I'm excited to hear what you have to say. And more importantly, as we move forward with further meetings, I may be bringing more staff members to make sure that we can accommodate and or listen in the appropriate way. I saw the list in the past. I think there were too many people that weren't necessarily, you know, the right people. You don't need a marketing group here. Right. So let me see what you have, and then I'll make sure we do the right thing.
Yes, I appreciate that, Michael. And I know I have some questions related to Sunvan especially, but I'm wondering if I always like to have members of the commission, if they have questions about Sunvan or Suntran, you know, service or accessibility that have come up over the ensuing months, since it's been a while, I'd like to defer to other members of the commission first if they have questions, concerns, or, you know, thoughts. Commissioner Jordan?
You knew it was going to be me, didn't you? Hi, this is Ray Jordan. Should we start with Sunvan first and then move to Suntran a little later, Zach?
Sure. I mean, yeah, that sounds fine. We have like 30 minutes-ish thereabouts. Oh. So.
I got a couple of quick questions, but first of all, I'd like to know whether any of the other CODI members have received or have seen the initial report on the Sunvan comprehensive operational analysis. I have a copy because I attended a meeting specifically on that subject a couple of weeks ago. I'm just wondering if anybody else has seen it.
I have, Ray. I will note that, like, you know, I mean, I think we can ask some stuff about the COE, but we will also be talking to Sunvan further, more specifically about the COE, COA next month, as requested by a staff member with Suntran. So I believe that was loose, you know, just, yeah.
All right. Well, I'll skip most of my questions, and I'll just ask this one, Michael, if you wouldn't mind. That piece of paper that I had says that there will be a next round of public feedback. Would you be able to tell us when that might be?
It's funny you mentioned that. I was just talking to someone this morning about that. I think you're in my head. I keep my eye on you, Ray. I don't have the date yet. I know right now one of the things we wanted to do is kind of work hard on getting the information out there and letting people soak it in. And we're kind of attending meetings here and there. Ian Sampson's the one who's kind of spearheading that. So we make sure we answer all of those questions, and then we'll lock down a real public feedback meeting. But when we find out, we'll make sure we get it to this group.
Yeah, Michael, if you don't mind, the marketing team just posted the open house meetings on the website. So there is a series of meetings that is now on the website, the suntran.com website. The information about Sunvan is going to be coupled with or paired with Title VI open house meetings regarding service changes coming in August of 2025 to Suntran routes. Right. Yeah, so if you go to the homepage, you just click on the Title VI box, and it'll take you right to the dates, meeting dates and locations and all of that, if that's helpful.
Yeah, that is helpful, but if I can add to that, so it doesn't sound like we're talking about two different things. That is the case, yet I was I know you're referring to the full document, and that document kind of went beyond service changes. Right. It had some other items there. And that's what I was referring to as far as trying to get a date to kind of look at it overall. But from a service standpoint, Sean's correct. From a service standpoint, that's there. But we need to get some other public input on some of the other pieces. I'm not sure, you know, now that I think about it, maybe it makes sense, Sean, to weave the other pieces into that meeting. I'll keep my eye on it, see how it goes.
Yeah.
So it's my thought is that it's very difficult for people to provide public feedback if they don't have some, you know, information to base their thoughts upon.
Yeah, and if the decision is that we're going to do it during the public sessions that we have, we need to make it clear that you can bring up all of your concerns about the COA at that point. That's what we were talking about this morning, so I'm not sure which way we're going to go with it yet. But we'll make sure everybody gets an opportunity.
Okay. Commissioner Derbyshire, you had your virtual hand raised.
Yes, good afternoon. So I want to just follow up, especially knowing that there was a FUPAL with the meeting email that I received for the upcoming Title VI meetings that are scheduled for next week. First off, I want to address one thing, and that is that I only received that a day or so ago, which means that I probably already scheduled things for the following week, and now I have to jump and run if I want to attend one of those meetings, let's say. I don't understand why the initial post is actually listed as being, I think, February the 17th or something like that on the website, yet it took until almost a month later for me to receive an email about the dates for these events. So that's the first thing. The second thing is I'd like to understand then how this is communicated to the, I think there's 80, I can't remember how many riders there are in Tucson, 60,000, 80,000, I don't remember. How is it being communicated to that list of people that you guys have email addresses for? Has that been sent out yet? And if it hasn't, when will it be sent out? Because now today is Wednesday, and the first meeting is this coming Monday. So those are my first two questions. I have some others on my mind. Thank you.
Yeah, so Wesley, good afternoon. So I think in answer to the second question, you asked about the a list for of email addresses and so forth. Currently, Sunvan does not maintain a database that has been compiled.
I was referring to SunTran because these are the SunTran. This is for SunTran. This time,
oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Yeah. So go ahead, and what about the SunTran list?
If I may speak, all the riders are advised about the Title VI meetings through postings on the buses and handouts from the drivers. That's your question, how do they are?
Well, my understanding is that there's a list of emails. Why isn't it being communicated to riders via email? Or even by text communication if you have their phone numbers. I mean, we used to pay for the systems, which means you have the rider information in the database somewhere. Why isn't it being communicated to people in a manner that other companies, just normal companies, would do? Why isn't it not being communicated in that way? You're expecting people to look at something on the bus, or call in to the city to find out that these meetings are occurring. And I only received out of courtesy from Sean because, on Cody and I'm the president of the local chapter of Southern Arizona Council of the Blind. So I'm wondering about the other thousands of riders for SunTran and having them have access so that they can attend these meetings. I'm talking about equality here. So what about them?
I was, as you saw, I was kind of darting around. Up, I got the person. Excuse me a second.
Am I being too confusing? I don't know.
Just for like visual sake, I think Mikhail might be trying to communicate with someone, like via his computer for just a second, like offline. So that's why he's on mute to get an answer. So.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I am so sorry. Could you, Wesley, I'm sorry. Could you ask that question again? The individual that I wanted on to be able to answer these questions is mm-hmm. in the physical therapy. But she's on the phone right now listening, so ask the question.
I was asking, okay, there's my perception is we have a series of Sun Tran writers. My understanding is that there has been a gathered list of emails and probably phone numbers to contact these people. I'm wondering why an email has not been transmitted to them to let them know about the Title VI meetings so that they too can participate in these meetings instead of boarding the bus or having to call in to find out that these meetings exist. I only found out about them a few days ago and they're happening starting on Monday.
Did you hear that, Davida?
I don't have a good answer. I will have to work with our marketing team, find out if it is. I know that they've been sending out emails announcing the meetings, that there's posters on the buses, and we have strip cards available that have been going out on the buses. So regarding those emails, they should have been going out to all of our lists that we currently have available. So I will need to follow up with our marketing team that sends out those emails.
Okay, I got it from here. All right, thank you. So, all right, so let me look into that. I'll do it. So I'll look into the marketing team to see what took place because it was my understanding that everything was already out. But as you're telling me, that isn't the case. So I need to do some research on that.
Okay. And it would be helpful for me to understand whether or not I myself am on that list or not as a writer of Sun Tran as well. You know, I have a card for Sun Tran, so I should be on that list. But yet I didn't receive anything specific from them. Anyway, that's the point. I'm just looking for broad communication on this topic. And I'm also still wondering why the meeting announcements only have gone out 7 days before, you know, the event actually is occurring, which really gives very limited time for citizens to participate in the meetings. And that, I think, is sort of not very fair to people to schedule their lives. You know, it really should have been 2 or 3 weeks out, in my opinion. So I just want to press that point that, you know, people have busy lives, you know, and these things have to be done in a timely manner, you know, in my opinion. That's my first thing. The second thing, I raised this with Sean when I was in the transit meeting the other week, and I just want to bring it to the attention again because we're talking about Sun Tran right now, from my understanding. And as a writer, I noticed that in certain cases, parts of the city do not have stops every quarter of a mile. Yet those parts of the cities have equal amounts of population density. So that there should in fact be stops every quarter mile. So I'm just bringing it to the attention to you, Mike, again, because I didn't raise it directly to you. And if you want to talk to me more about that, I'd be happy to get you the details on that. And that's all I have to say at the moment.
Thank you for your input. I'd be interested to know a little bit more about that. Go ahead, Sabrina.
I just want to say that the communications about the open houses for Title VI for the Sun Tran started on February 21st.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about it until just a couple of days ago.
So we'll have to see what's going on with the list. I think it has something to do with the lists because I know that staff started the process, but that doesn't mean it didn't touch you, and there must be a reason why. So let me figure out if it happened to you, it probably happened to more people. So let's look into it.
So, thank you.
Thanks. Commissioner Jordan, I did see your hand raised, but I have a couple questions that I want to get to that were on my mind. I don't know if this isn't directly related to the COA for Sun Van, but just more like an update kind of on service. So I believe in like 2023 or 2024, we talked to Steve Spade, your predecessor, Mikkel, about, you know, the amount of drivers, like the on-time percentage for rides and kind of the amount of drivers that would be necessary to increase, you know, the percentage of on-time rides. Cause at that point, you know, like stuff was still in recovery from, the pandemic and that type of thing. I'm just curious if, you know, over the last several months, as you've come on board, or, you know, maybe this is a question for Sean about, like, you know, what the staffing levels for drivers are, and, you know, if the on-time percent, how is the on-time percentage and that type of thing.
Sure. So I'll start and then Sean, you can jump in. So I've been looking at the on-time performance because our on-time performance is not good. Right. It's pretty bad. But there are various reasons for that. Part of it could possibly be staffing, but not necessarily staffing as in we need to hire more people to fill what's budgeted, but maybe we need to budget more people. For example, we have 180, drivers, and we're up to, at the time, we were probably short 20, right? So we're up to the 180, and we still have an on-time performance problem because we don't have enough drivers to really match the amount of service requested. One of the reasons why, again, this is my observation, and from past experience, one of the reasons why is because typically when you have a manifest that's built with a certain number of people that you're going to, a driver is going to be picking up, usually that's the way it is and you go. But on the fly, more and more rides get added because we have sort of a leave nobody behind approach. So what we're doing is we're jamming a schedule on operators that are already jammed, right? They have to stay, and I talk to them too, by the way. And then they have to stay late. They want to make sure everybody gets the ride. And then on time performance goes out the window. It goes more towards making sure we pick as many people up as possible and get them to where they want to go. The other thing that makes it a little more difficult is because, it's free, we have more people that are kind of getting a ride for, for things that aren't as critical as someone going to the hospital, right? So within one day, I can take somebody to the casino five times, and then I have somebody that needs to go to the hospital, and we're trying to jam them in. So, you know, we can't prioritize. So we're just putting, we're really jamming a lot of work there. So really what I am looking at is whether the actual budgeted staff level is the right level. If that helps. I know at the time you were probably told, well, we're short operators because of the pandemic. Once we get the operators up to 180, we'll be on time. But our ridership has just been increasing. Our requests have been increasing. Sean, did you have something to add?
No, those are all great points regarding what impacts on-time performance. And, you know, even before the pandemic, we were in the mid-90s in terms of percentile. But we struggled on some days because of operator call-offs, you know, things like that, just fluctuations in demand. So it is a constant effort to anticipate, to schedule as many drivers as we can, and then to boost our numbers in terms of operators. And that's kind of a long-term proposition. We've been working at that for some time. We're in a fairly okay place, but it's still, as Mikkel said, not quite enough because of the demand we're having. We've increased, for instance, an average of 8 to 9% in the last few months versus the same months last year. So we're seeing quite a boost in ridership. And that does impact the daily scenario when we're trying to put service on the street. So it's a lot of things together, but I do think an increase in the number of operators could certainly help us.
Just to follow up on that real quick. So one thing that as a member of the disability community who would use, you know, who might use the future Sun van for both, you know, medical purposes, work purposes, and recreation purposes. Like, I think, you know, like the idea that there is one purpose more valuable for Sunban than another, and that type of thing is somewhat troubling, because you know, oftentimes riders with disabilities don't have other options. Like right now, like I am privileged to be able to drive, but if, you know, my disability advances, like I may not be able to drive. So I wouldn't be able to get down to a recreational activity that, you know, might be very important to my well-being. So I just want to clarify that. And then, second, I'm curious what the on-time, like, is there an on-time percentage, for the last, you know, three months? Like, if ridership has increased, has on-time performance suffered or kind of stayed the same compared to last year with decreased?
I'll let Sean answer that part, but just to provide clarity, I was just talking about factually what was taking place and what the complaints are that are coming through. So that's what the complaints are. It's not Michael Oglesby saying one is more important than the other. You and I both know I can't do that, would never do that. We try to provide transportation for everyone, but then I have people calling in with the complaints of, well, I can't get to where I want to, but I know a person who, you know, that one. Oh, and then it's like, oh, you know them? Oh yeah, we took them to the casino. So that's all I was saying there. There's no, back and forth. Now, as far as on-time performance suffers in general when you have, too many rides, right? I mean, mm-hmm. we do per operator, not to mention the good news is we brought operators in. The bad news is that, you know, some of them are new. So you have a newer operator that comes in and they don't get the luxury of just taking 15 people a day. They get jammed. It's like, sure. Welcome to your job. Now go and be good.
Right.
Right. And which is okay. You know, and they do the best and we do our best to support them. So there's the other side of it where our operators really care. Well, most of them do anyway. I know I've got some complaints that some don't. We won't even go there. We do our best to train them to make sure. But Sean, as far as the on-time performance goes, that makes it suffer. If we had more, let's say, operators or less requests, I mean, you know, it's easy to be within a half hour window. That's really what's throwing us off.
Yeah. I think Michael touches on a really good point, and that is newer operators. We have a number of newer operators, coupled with, you know, high demand. And then you add into the mix certain days, where we have a number of call-offs. There's been cold season and flu season. And so you might schedule a number of operators and suddenly we have 10 or 12 operators calling off early in the morning. And all those routes have rides that have to go somewhere. And so the remainder of the routes receive trips because dispatch has to move trips off of those, fully packed scheduled rides onto now other routes, which then burdens them in terms of their on-time performance. And we often see that happening early in the day because call-offs quite often sometimes are unanticipated. We anticipate a certain maybe average or number, and so we have extra operators we do schedule in. But sometimes we're a little surprised by additional call-offs, and those kind of things can impact the service as well. So boosting our numbers can certainly help that. We can schedule more operators anticipating those kinds of things from happening, which will, in a positive way impact on-time performance.
Sure. Thank you, Sean. And thank you for the clarification, Michael. Like, I certainly recognize that, you know, people, just also in my employment make all sorts of, interesting claims in terms of, like, prioritization and what's important. So I appreciate the clarification and sorry for any misunderstanding. I, like one other thing I'm curious about is as we are going into, you know, summer and the heat, is there like a seasonal, you know, effect of like ridership? Like, you know, is this like high time of year versus like, you know, in the heat of July, it's like, lower because people want to be outside and going, you know, moving less, or does that change at all? I'm just curious. So.
Yeah, that's a great question, Zach. We do see, for instance, on rainy, cold days, we'll see more cancellations than we would see on a sunny, warm day. It's just kind of natural to see that. And then by the same token, if we're in the middle of a heat wave, we might see more call-offs as well. And on an average day, we probably have a couple hundred folks calling in to cancel their trips. So that can fluctuate, though, depending on the weather conditions out there, and who knows what. Sometimes it's hard to explain why we have fewer rides than other days. And then by the same token, it's hard to understand why we have more on some days than others. So it's interesting watching that, the trends.
Yeah, I was just curious. Recognizing time as, you know, leaving. I know Ms. Commissioner Jordan had his hand raised, maybe for a follow up. Did you have a question, Ray, or a comment?
Oh, I'll defer to the next person in line. Thanks.
Yeah, Derek's had his hand up for a while.
Yeah, thank you for that.
I see you, but I see you. You remember that.
Yeah. Well, that's probably because I'm the one going to the casino five times a day. So, you just got... So I had a couple of data questions for you. One, because the mention of on time keeps getting mentioned, but what is customer satisfaction and what correlation to on time is it?
Are you saying what is the time frame for on time? So on time is a half hour span before or after the appointment.
No, what is, so we know what on time is and running late, but are people dissatisfied with that, with the on time, or are they understanding? What is customer satisfaction? Because I'm more interested in that. If people are happy, even though you're running behind, then there's a tendency to be looking at possibly the wrong metric.
That one's tough. That's a good question. And Sean, if you want to tackle this one, you can, because that's a good way to look at it. I will say, based on the complaints that I've heard and in the various people that I've talked to, that if you're not on time, they're not happy. Right, because they have things to do. Period. Let's just call. I'm very straightforward, by the way. You're going to learn this very quickly. But if it's not on time, that's it. Because you know you have things to do. You make plans. You're depending on our service. You're not on time, and you know typically where they're going, they're not as forgiving either. Right.
Yeah.
Depending on where they're going. So especially therefore, what I've seen is really if we're not on time, it's a complaint. You deserve on-time performance. We deserve to provide it. We're just trying to figure a way to do it with this increased volume, with this increased ridership. And I'm not going to say the dreaded word fare, bring fares back, but I heard people are talking about it. So who knows if that'll affect it next too, right?
I've heard that same talk. No, and I appreciate that. I think I was just kind of hoping for a different answer, just that people were happy. But it absolutely makes sense that everyone, if you're, you know, I was just driving in traffic today and people are speeding crazily to save 30 seconds. So it's, yeah, I kind of knew the answer, but I was hoping.
But on another note, though, there are some people that understand, of course.
Yeah.
But typically those are people that don't, those are the people that, you know, may not be in a rush or I don't know. So we get both on the input side, but our position is, to tell you honestly, it doesn't matter whether they understand or not. Our job is to provide on-time service, and we're just going to keep pushing for that.
So I have one other question.
If I may speak, you know, when looking at our statistics and I look at the number of complaints we have, they're not as bad as they could. So that's telling us that people are happy they have the service, because the statistics telling us there's not that many people calling complaints because the bus is late.
Right.
And I'm talking for some vans, not just for some vans.
Okay.
Well, and that's great. See, I love looking at statistics, but I also like listening to people. Like, I could look at those statistics and hear that and then talk to Chris, and Chris will tell me something completely different. I know Chris is listening. That's why I threw him a shout out.
So my other question is, so I was speaking with the mayor, and she was excited with some of the changes of being able to report an increased ROI to make people happy. And I definitely see that. I see the social media comments, and people are less than happy, whether it's valid or not. So I see all the comments. But my concern is ROI measures the mean performance of a population. And so public transportation is generally marginalized populations. How is there any consideration for how to measure marginalized populations and the benefit outside of ROI to these populations? Because it may not be a direct dollar for dollar amount, but you're enabling a marginalized population to simply come to equity.
Good question. I don't know. I don't know. I think I'm gonna look at that. That's really a good question. One, if I had the answer, I probably wouldn't tell you anyway, because it would go against what the mayor's posted. But no, I think we need to, you know, really think about that. Yeah, I don't know the answer.
No, that's fine. Thank you. I appreciate it. And Ray, I see Ray ready to go round two.
Yeah, maybe Ray, you can finish us out as we only have a couple minutes left for this agenda item before we kind of need to move on.
Thank you, Zach. First of all, on the Title VI open houses, I did receive that email. I just went and checked on Feb 25. So there's obviously a problem with some trend database that some people, including Wesley, may have fallen off. I've got a whole bunch of questions which I think are probably best put in writing. So I think offline, Zach, I could talk to you about how I would get those questions to the SunTran leadership through you. But I do have one that I'd like to ask in person right now, and that is, I ride buses pretty regularly, and what I see when I get on with my wheelchair and get secured into position, the driver pulls out a piece of paper and writes a bunch of stuff on it before taking off. And I am curious as to what that is.
Okay, that's a checklist. We want to make sure you're safe. And so that's their checklist. Make sure they use the proper securement. They have to ask you if you want your seatbelt on. And then they have to make sure that they had gone through that and then sent a message to dispatch that the wheelchair has been secure, your specific mobility device has been secure.
Right.
Is it possible to see that form that they fill out? Could Cody get a look at that form that the drivers fill out? That'd be great, if possible.
It's actually, if you look on the seat when it's up, it should be there, either there or on the wall in front of you. If it's not, then they might have fallen off, but it should be there. I will be happy to send you a copy, because it's a document that you should be able to see.
Yes. And just to follow up on that, there's a full reason for that, right? We have some scenarios where, you know, insurance claims are high. We have some operators that may forget, and if they pull off and they don't secure you properly, you can get injured. So one thing that we did is we made sure that they do that checklist. And if you call in with some type of complaint or an issue, we can look at the camera to see if they did that to match it to support you.
So they really could write anything or tick all of those boxes without actually doing what they said they could.
Well, if that's the case and you let us know, we then look at, but I mean, we also periodically, take a look at video and stuff. But, if you let us know, if you have any concern that you weren't secured properly or you had an issue with the operator, we have access to the cameras. And if that person doesn't pull it out and go like this, then we know there's an issue.
It'd probably be hard for the rider to know that without actually seeing what it is that the drivers write down. And my very final comment is I have made numerous complaints regarding the securement of my own wheelchair and never hear anything back.
Have you made them to? Okay, thank you. I'll look into that. I'll talk to Sean.
Yeah.
I'm happy to facilitate. I know Sabrina, you mentioned being willing to get Commissioner Jordan that list. I'm happy to facilitate connecting like folks by via email if that's okay, just to not get into quorum issues. That's typically how I do things. So happy to do that. As we are kind of right on time for our schedule, like I'll kind of in the SunTran discussion here. We look forward to hearing from Ian and any other staff members next month regarding the comprehensive operational analysis. Mikkel, Sabrina, it's very nice to meet you. Sean, it's great to have you on again. Appreciate all of you joining us and taking time out of your day.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it. I'll be there with Ian at that meeting too. As a matter of fact, every meeting, you'll get tired of seeing my face, but I'm not going to leave you, so I'll be right here. And maybe next time you want to give us some more time. How's that?
Great.
35 minutes isn't enough. I don't want to go, so see how you are. See that.
I'll be sure to note that and
put that in there.
25. So, okay.
All right. Cool. Thank you. Appreciate you all.
Thank you, Zach. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Okay. All right, everyone. So we are going to go to agenda item number 4, which is consideration and possible approval of our February 2025 meeting minutes. I would be looking for a discussion and if there are, you know, how people feel about those minutes and if there are any changes that could be made or notated so we could look at if there are changes, you know, editing those minutes and then you know, getting them approved with the edits. So, Commissioner Jordan.
Thank you, Zach. We received the minutes last Friday morning, and I replied to the city clerk's office also on Friday morning that I was not happy with the minutes because of the number of errors that was in those minutes, and it was only this morning that Rick called me on the phone and suggested that we can vote on minutes that were where changes had been made whilst we were in this meeting. Mm-hmm. Most of those errors, mind you, are just spelling and grammar errors. There are a couple of other things in there as well.
Okay. You know, I'm not sure, like, Rick or Stephanie, like, I'm happy to entertain changes to the minutes or whatever, you know, needs to happen. But I'm not sure how, a motion needs to happen if we're not talking about, like, specific changes. Could we just say, Cody would move to approve the minutes, with proposed changes, that Commissioner Jordan found or something like that?
That is correct. Go ahead and make the note, at this time of what needs to be changed. And if everybody agrees to it, then you'll go ahead and make the motion to approve the minutes, with corrections. And that way we know to make those adjustments and corrections on this end prior before we do any of the postings.
Okay. So does Commissioner Jordan need to know specifically, like, now,
yes,
like, line by line, the changes?
Yes.
That he's, okay. Ray, oh. do you want to try to do that? That would be helpful.
If it's too much without me knowing, you had mentioned earlier, Ray, that Mr. Jordan, pardon me, that you did have it done like a cheat sheet for us, that you would send to us. But if you want to at least let the rest of the commissioners know what it is that you're sending us, so that in a synopsis, and if they're okay with that, then they can vote to approve it. Or the worst is we can bring it back at the next meeting, and with the correct changes to it, and then approve it at a time. That'll be your decision to make at this time.
Okay. Ray, do you think you can make a motion with the synopsis of the changes you're proposing that then we could get a second and vote on?
Okay. So let me preface by saying this, that what I've done is use the Word document and did a track changes so that all of the changes that I've made will be very obvious to anybody who actually sees the new document that I've created. But perhaps the errors are right through the entire document. I'm not sure we've got time for me to read through the entire thing with the new words. So perhaps I could just pick out the major things and just say that everything else is just spelling.
Either that or Ray, we can just table this agenda item for next month, and then you could send the track changes document to Rick, Stephanie, or Susanna, whoever needs to see them, and then we could vote on, like, the edits next month, because that would maybe
I'd like to make a motion to table this item until next month.
And I second that.
Okay. All in favor of tabling consideration and approval of the February 2025 meeting minutes till the April 2025 Cody meeting, we'll take roll call now. So.
Okay. So Sue Krieger?
Aye.
Derek Espadas?
Aye.
Wesley Derbyshire?
Aye.
Thad Koble?
Aye.
Ray Jordan?
Aye.
So motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, Stephanie. So we'll get that taken care of next month. So this next item is discussion and a possible approval of a Parks and Recreation Department Cody Memorandum to Mayor and Council. Commissioners Krieger, Jordan, and I worked on this per our discussion last month. Did the commissioners have a chance to read over that memo and have questions or comments? And if you don't have any comments or concerns, I'd be looking for a motion to to approve and send to mayor and council.
I make a motion to approve it.
Wesley has the motion. Commissioner Jordan, you had your hand raised, so did you have a second?
Oh, I second. Absolutely, yes. Thank you.
Okay. So we need roll call again, Stephanie. Sorry,
yes, this is no, you're fine. Sue Krager?
Aye.
Derek Espadas?
Aye.
Wesley Derbyshire?
Aye.
Zach Colville?
Aye.
Ray Jordan?
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0.
Okie dokie. Okay. I believe the next agenda item is agenda item number 6, and that's update on ADA annual compliance review by ADOT. Jen Toothaker? I'm Toothaker. Sorry if I
mispronounced. Well done. No, that is fantastic. Normally everyone is very concerned that that might actually be the pronunciation, and it's they say Toothaker or something. Thank you. No, it is Toothaker. Hi, everyone. I am one of three deputy directors here at Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility, or DTM for short. I've worked with the city for more than 24 years, with 13 of those in DTM. And I recently completed a special assignment to the city manager's office for about 17 months. And it's one of the reasons why I'm here presenting on this annual report. It's projects that came over with me when I came back to DTM from my time at CMO. When I was working in the city manager's office, I had the opportunity to work with Rebecca Hill on a review of the city's ADA transition plan and began helping to research the progress that the city has made on older issues that we have captured in a database from an earlier audit and over time. That database has been around. We are using it and are chipping away at making improvements to the deficiencies identified in that database. And that is when I was hired into the role I'm currently in at DTM, I brought that research over with me, and it happened to dovetail with the need to complete a report, an annual report to ADOT. This report, I have a presentation for you. I'll just put that the slides up on screen right now. I also asked that we share these files, so this PowerPoint presentation, with you, as well as a copy of the report. So hopefully, if you haven't seen it yet, it's in your emails. I think what I'm going to do is just, before I get into the slide presentation, let me just show you an example of what the report looks like. It's a little odd because it looks like it's an email. They did a Google form online, and so when you submit it online, it sends you an email with the copy of the report, and that is the only copy that we have. So it is technically called Certification Acceptance Agency ADA Section 504 2025 Self-Certification Checklist. And I'm just going to describe, as I scroll through the pages, there are fields that it's requested information on that relate to who our program contacts are at the city of Tucson. It in the document and the report submitted, there are links to different pages that identify responses to the questions asked. And I'll go through these highlights in my PowerPoint slides, but I wanted to just introduce this document to you so you know, as you have time and desire to look at it yourself, you'll be oriented. There are attachments on they're noted within the document, the PDF report, and then at the end, there's about 9 pages, I believe, of report, and then the attachments begin, 10 pages. So there's more detail involved, and I am happy, since you are just now getting this, if you have any questions or would like, happy to return and provide any additional information as necessary. For since I'm on it, attachments here, you'll see what type of trainings were conducted that both Rebecca and Will participated in, and then what has been presented in the city of Tucson. You'll see a report on what accessibility complaints were received and how they were addressed. There's also accommodations list, so if there were any accommodations requested. And then also upcoming projects that will have ADA improvements in them, and these might be curb ramps, sidewalk improvements, signal improvements. I've also identified up here at the top that there will be sort of a multiple department effort on project tracking and reporting for ADA improvements, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And also, what have we done with respect to correcting ADA deficiencies, known ADA deficiencies? So Parks has a report here, and again, this is just for the time frame. I think this is 2023 and 2024. The report was not done. I have not seen a report for 2023. The last report we submitted was in 2022. I believe that was when ADOT requested it from us. We skipped a year. I don't know exactly what happened. I was in city manager's office, so I also don't know what happened there. But so I included as much information as I could for that interim time frame. So 2023 and 2024 are in this report. So there's, but one thing I'll point out, and this kind of gets at what our goal is for 2025, is there's differences in how information is tracked and reported. I think Parks is the only department that has kept up with using the centralized database that decentralized in 2015. And departments have been, have various ways of tracking. This attachment 6 is a report from General Services Department that provides information both on specifically ADA work orders as well as preventive maintenance work they've done. And preventive maintenance often relates to addressing door pressures, making sure that signage is complete, different things like that. They also will be involved in planned projects. So they have a different work order reporting style. And then transportation, one of our key goals this year is to, we've done a simplified reporting here, but I will tell you that we definitely need to up our game. We've got a series of data that we established some years back that the tracking of our improving on those deficiencies, it's not where it needs to be. So we'll be working this year, and I ideally we're going to be coordinating with all the other departments that need to make these types of improvements on a regular basis. Parks, General Services, Transportation, as well as Transit. And Transit is part of our Transportation Department. But they're often doing reporting separately. They're just by nature of their operations. So I think there's a much better way that we can centralize and keep tracking ADA improvements for the entire city, and a much easier way of pulling that data up, hopefully at the press of a button. To get into the questionnaire a little bit, so what I just showed you is what ADOT is asking City of Tucson for, specifically my department, DTM, and that's in part because we have a special agreement with them. It's called a certification acceptance agreement, wherein we certify, we do a whole slew of different things to the same standard that ADOT does. And when we can prove that, they will delegate authority to us to manage federally funded projects by ourselves on our own and not through an ADOT project manager. That's extremely helpful, and it allows us to control many different elements of projects that are federally funded. So we really want to keep in good standing on that certification acceptance agreement. And so some of the certification elements, we must be doing at least as good as ADOT is in our with respect to our ADA and ADA transition plan. This report that I showed you is an evolution. Over time, they have actually expanded the questions to now be more like a checklist. So every year we're pulling this information together. It is a compilation of information that, you know, throughout the year we should be performing different types of activities. And so it both acts as a checklist for the year to come and is a report when we report on all those activities at year's end. And it really helps to also identify those pieces we are improving on in our ADA transition plan. As I mentioned, those different questions that were on the first 10 pages of that PDF really relate to what are our organizational policies and practices. Do we have ADA policies and statements? Are they online? Do we have an ADA grievance procedure? Is that available and online and accessible? And are we conducting staff training? Additionally, program accessibility that covers both our websites, mobile applications, and city services, as well as different programs. It is making sure that alternate material formats are available and technological aids are available to support hearing or visual or other with respect to city services and engagement. And that our facilities, our rights of way, and bus services are accessible. Lastly, as I mentioned, the self-evaluation and transition plan. So very specifically, questions asked on what have we done and what are we planning to do with respect to ADA improvements. Those lists, the attachments, help list out the various types of infrastructure improvements that were made through calendar, and I really should have calendar years 2022 through 2024 in this headline. But it, as I mentioned, it covers ADA ramps, sidewalks, pedestrian safety enhancements, and bus stops. Facility upgrades include accessibility improvements in parks, public buildings, and transit areas. Technology and communication, I'll share, it was great to see that IT, our information technology department, created new standards for public meeting rooms, specifically at the ward offices, but it's now part of a package that can expand into other conference rooms throughout the city that will help support sound. It's sort of enhanced speakers and audio to assist. And then training. Definitely ongoing training of city staff and ADA coordinator that has been documented. And then we're also considering additional trainings. How can we expand? Coming from my world, when many people are using the right-of-way to do different types of construction, what we hear often is that the way they're controlling the traffic, the pedestrian traffic as well as the vehicular traffic, may make it difficult for people to pass, and that we think that can be done better. So in calendar year 2025, I mentioned that we're looking to improve on our ADA tracking and reporting. One of the things I'm still actively working on is that research. So we're doing the records check to see what projects weren't tracked, and can we update our records so that we can establish a new baseline moving forward so we can keep continuing to track our progress, that we have a bit better numbers that we can recognize how we're progressing, but also what's still needing attention. And as I mentioned, that centralized system, it'd be fantastic if within our organization we have some way that everyone is using to track these ADA improvements. We have the upcoming capital projects included in those attachments. There is a web accessibility initiative, which is the result of an April 2024 court decision that all state and local websites and mobile applications must comply with web content accessibility guidelines by April 2026. Our IT department is busy at work getting that scope of work defined and bringing someone on to help with that self-inventory and then to correct any issues that would bring us into compliance by that April 26 deadline. And then, as I mentioned, that training, that ongoing training, the city staff and ADA coordinator, and I missed the bullet on this slide, but we want to consider what other types of training can we do that can make things better. And that's my presentation. I will stop sharing, and if anyone has any questions, I hope I didn't race by that too quickly.
Commissioner Espadas, I do see, I will say, just because I probably will not ask a question at this point, Jennifer, but I would love to have you and possibly Jennifer Bonham, who's the ADA coordinator now, on again, either next month or in May, to discuss this further so we can, after the commission has had a chance to digest all the wonderful data you've just presented.
Laid on you. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, it's great. I'm most happy to look at things. I just, Commissioner Espadas, I want to give you a chance to make a comment or ask a question. So,
Feel free to jump in because I have like a million questions. When it gets too much, feel free to stop me. But you're mentioning the decentralization of the database. Are the available databases right now, as they're structured, publicly accessible to view, even a redacted form? And is there a way for someone to contribute to the database when they come upon an ADA issue? And just from a personal interest, what do you believe is the ideal data architecture for a centralized database that you would look forward to?
Oh, wow. Boy, that I will admit that I don't know enough right now to believe I have a good ideal in mind. I feel like there's a lot of conversation that still needs to happen. Based on what I do know, though, so to your first question, the decentralized databases and what's available, to be honest with you, I started working on this in September, and I truly believe right now that there are two main databases that exist. One that Parks keeps, and it's largely very much the same thing as a database that Office of Equal Opportunity Programs has had since it was originally created, I think, in 2006. And it was developed in Microsoft Access, if you're familiar with that program. It's got thousands of records. There was an audit at early, I want to say maybe 2006 through 2009, somewhere in that time frame. There was an audit. There were issues documented for over 300 facilities, also including polling locations that city clerk's office used at that time. And in that large database, then there were, you know, a host of issues identified. And so over the years, and this is where my research has really honed in on, is there have been fixes. The centralization, I don't know if folks were around at a time and maybe met Marty DuPont, who was an architect that worked for the city in facilities management. He really, you know, took ownership of that database. He kept it. He retired in 2015, and that's when Rebecca Hill got hired on. It was at that point in time, and I think because not everyone had a lot of Microsoft Access database background or prowess, and I think that's when it decentralized and it was left to departments to develop a tool that they could use to track. The challenge with that was, I think it was really only Parks that took ownership and kept that going. But even with that, with staff turnover, it's been inconsistent. And I should correct myself. I'm sorry. I've always assumed that, but it was just in the recent conversations that I learned that Parks was not aware that there was this access database that we had access to, and they completely built their own tool based on a hard copy of this Department of Justice. The audit was done as part of a Department of Justice negotiation with the city of Tucson back in the 2006 time era. So they're not anywhere. This is something we're talking about, is how can we put this onto the webpage. The ADA transition plan that I've been reviewing is being updated, and I'm working to make that available. The underlying data, that it is available. It's something that is pretty overwhelming. I will admit I was overwhelmed when I first got it, but that depending how you are wanting it, I think the report is the easiest way that we can share that. And I feel like there was another question that I can't remember now.
If you had your wish, we were to centralize everything, what would be that data architecture to go with?
Oof. Well, so in my mind, I start with the goal first. It's, you know, what are the things that we want to be able to report on? And I'll share that it's been exciting as I've been doing this research to see that there's funding that's actually going into making improvements. And it's partly in due to the Prop 407, our Great Parks and Better Connections prop work that's going on, and the Proposition 411, which is the Better Streets. You know, there's money that we're being able to infuse, and I would love for us to be able to see specifically where we're making improvements. We're putting in a lot of new curb ramps that never existed. So, I mean, we're making inroads in great ways to build in even better and more infrastructure. So it'd be fantastic to be able to just even say, here's what's been fixed and here's the new stuff too. I think that would be, to me, that means like if I see the entire community, I don't want to just focus in on the areas that, you know, existed and have deficiencies. And it's exciting to be able to say we're expanding and we're trying to cover the whole network, the whole city. So you can tell I get a little excited about this.
Oh, that's awesome. I guess since I don't see any other hands, I'm going to try to slip in one more question.
Sure.
It's a good one, Zach, I promise. So what happens if there's a conflict in the reports on inaccessibility?
So you mentioned curb cuts, and that's actually one of the things that brought me to Cody. I have a friend who's visually impaired, and I'm a wheelchair user. So those little yellow dots, I hate them so much because they cut my momentum, but she needs them to not get hit by a car. So what happens when there's conflicts of interest as far as the various accessibility needs?
You know, that's a great question. So my first response to that is, have we had conversation around that? And can we? I don't know. And I'm not certified. Leslie, I see maybe you have a response.
No, I don't. I'm trying to raise my hand for a future.
Oh, okay. I'll keep it short and simple. I think that merits conversation, and I think maybe we can tap people who are more informed than I. I don't have any certification or true background in design and standards, but I think that I have done a lot of facilitation and conversation. So that's an area where I feel like there's a lot of solution to be had.
Wesley, maybe a short comment.
Just a very short one. Yep. Thank you very much for the presentation. One of the things I'm very happy to hear about is that the ruling, about getting all the websites accessible. I'm a blind user, and that's been a problem for me in this city. One of the things I've continued to complain about, mildly, it's not a huge issue, but it certainly is a minor one, is every year when I pay my taxes online, I cannot do it efficiently at all. And here's the question. That is probably a third-party website. That's probably not written by the city. How is the city going to manage a third-party company that does not comply with the ADA when it comes to the data fields that are on that site? So that's my open question, and that's all I have. Thank you.
I will say I don't know the answer to that, and we'll look into that, and that might be something we're looking into. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. If you want to jump in, go right ahead.
Hello, everyone. Commissioner Derbyshire, members of the commission, I suspect that information, like that requirement to comply with the ADA, would be built into whatever contract the city signs with the third party.
So it sounds to me like they're supposed to comply, but if they aren't, then what can be done in that case when they're not? Because I can tell you the last time I did it, it still wasn't compliant. I definitely had problems this past October again for the second or third year running with the new company. I can't remember their name. I don't remember. I think it's the company I used to work for, actually.
I think if there are concerns like that, the first point of contact would probably be having the department reach out to the city's business services department, and specifically procurement, which manages the city's contracts.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Just because we're running a little short of time, I do want, like, Jennifer Baum and Jennifer Toothaker, I will be in touch in the coming weeks about maybe scheduling some time either next month or in May. I want to give, a substantial amount of time to this report, to all the wonderful work you've done. This is amazing data and something I've been wanting a lot for a long time. So I'm very excited to take it. I'll definitely reach out. Commissioner Jordan, we only have about 10 minutes and we have another thing to vote on. So I just unless it's a short, very short comment, I'd like to move on.
Very short comment. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Jennifer Toothaker. This is a really interesting conversation, and I'm looking forward to the next installment. You mentioned the word overwhelming. You used that before, and I agree. As a person who uses Tucson's facilities, the sidewalks in particular, is a big issue. The people with disabilities are overwhelmed by the number of ADA fails in the city. Mm-hmm. So if we're both overwhelmed, we're obviously heading in the right direction. Mm. Thank you.
I hear you.
Good comment. Okay, thank you. I will be in touch. We do have agenda item, I believe, number 7 next, which should be quick, as commissioners probably will have had a chance to review the annual report for 2024. I drafted this because it's something that all commissions have to do every year, and we do need to try to approve it unless there is any major changes this month. So I would be looking for a motion to approve the 2024 annual report, unless there are changes.
I will do it. I will move to approve the CODI annual report for 2024.
Great. Thank you. Second, I'd be looking for.
I second.
Thank you, Sue. Appreciate it. Stephanie, I think we're good for our final roll call.
Yeah. Sue Krager?
Aye.
Derek Espadas?
Aye.
Wesley Derbyshire?
Aye.
Zach Coble?
Aye.
Ray Jordan?
Aye.
Motion passes 5-0.
Great. Thank you. Sue, did you have something you'd like to?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a quick question. I must have missed it. Where can we find that report? I was looking at, on the Tucson webpage and I couldn't find it.
I believe that Rick just sent it to us in an email, like during the meeting, Sue.
Oh,
I don't know if it's publicly
okay.
posted, but if it could be publicly shared, that'd be great. I mean, you know.
Okay, but he sent us a link, huh?
Yeah.
Are you referring to the one that Jennifer Tutaker did?
Yes.
I sent you the PowerPoint and then also 2 PDFs along with it.
Okay. I'll take a look at my email. And then I just had one other comment. Zach, I don't know if this is the place, but when we invite Jennifer back, I'd like to explore training. And I've asked this before to better understand kind of the how, when, where, why of training. And if we could somehow have access to the kind of training that is provided to city staff. I'm interested in that. Thank you.
Yes, I think that is something that we can ask, what could be done, and what type of data they have. It might be somewhat incomplete given their predecessors, in OEOP are no longer with OEOP and gave trainings and participated in trainings, but happy to dig into that. So, okay. Final agenda item, announcements. Does anyone have announcements related to disability community happenings around town or, in the region? I see Commissioner Jordan, then Commissioner Espadas, and I think that's where I'm at right now. So Commissioner Jordan first, then Commissioner Espadas, just because that's who I saw first. So.
Thank you very much. Two very quick ones. I attended a couple of weeks ago a meeting at the Ward 2 office regarding the Sun Van comprehensive operational analysis. There was some interesting discussion going on there. Much of it, though, turned towards other operators, including Sun Link. people with disabilities using those services, that service, Sunlink, and sorry, not Sunlink, the long distance one, which I've forgotten now, and private operators doing work for some of the disability related facilities in town, and mistreatment of people on those services. Interesting and valid conversation, but kind of got distracted a little bit from the operational analysis part of it. It was an interesting meeting nevertheless, that's that one. My second and final item is that I am now serving also on Tucson's Transit Advisory Committee. Sorry about that. Acronyms. I'm trying to unpack acronyms in my head. Transit Advisory Committee. Had my first meeting early in this month, March. Second meeting will be the first Monday of April. And that has also been, transit being my thing, the thing that I really like talking about. I can talk about it all day. And so I will stop right now because I will if nobody stops me.
Awesome. Well, we'd love to hear more when we have more time. Commissioner Espadas, if you have announcements.
Yeah, so I did have an opportunity to speak with the mayor briefly. And so one of the things that was brought up was her visiting Cody. What her and her chief of staff said is that they need a formal invitation to get. I'm just relaying the message.
Sure. Commissioner Espadas, if you would like to connect with me, I think you have my email, and send me the email of who I should be in contact with. We can get working on that.
Okay. Good. Yeah. One of the things that I'm writing a report to her, her big emphasis when I did speak with her is economic development of Tucson. And I did bring up to her using the disabled community. You know, if Tucson can be disability friendly, this can be a center of economic, you know, a draw to get disabled people here. Along with that, I am traveling to Houston next month for a car show that turns out that is all designed around tactile designs of cars. So it's for the blind and disabled communities. And so I'm going to bring back notes of possibly that being like a starting point for us to kind of have like a festival here of, you know, maybe not cars, but, you know, I've actually talked to some lowrider builders about my wheelchair and putting hydraulics on there and decorating it. And they were excited about that idea. So just kicking around ideas of how we can, one, bring in economic money based on the disabled population and for the disabled population, and kind of rebranding disabilities as like, we do have fun. We're capable of that, and putting a more positive light on it. So I'll have notes if anybody wants next month.
Great.
And the transit. So just for Ray, I'm gonna ride the bus in Houston, and I'll let you know how it is, Ray.
Awesome. Commissioner Krager, I know you had your hand up. I wasn't sure if you had an announcement or you just had your hand up from earlier. So
I'm sorry, I forgot to lower it.
Oh, no worries. And does anyone else have their hand up? I don't think anyone else does. So I will, if I don't have any announcements, so if no one else has announcements, it is 4:59. I'm going to adjourn the meeting. Thanks so much, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you very much, Zach.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. I'll work on the minutes, too, once I get them in.